Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 7 to the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me, little Stevie Dan, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Diana Fritschgott-Roth. Diana is the director of economics21.org, a fellow with the Manhattan Institute, author of Disinherited, author of Regulating to Disaster, and there's at least one more here. Yes, here it is. Women's Figures, an illustrated guide to the economic progress of women in America. She's a very accomplished, very smart lady. Diana, thanks again for being here. Give us another report, or give us a report on the overtime rules that are being imposed upon small businesses, on business owners across America.
Well, the Labor Department just released a set of rules effective December 1st that says that salaried workers who are now on salary, who are earning between $24,000 and $48,000, have to be paid overtime if they work over 40 hours a week. Before, anyone earning under $24,000 had to be paid overtime. They have raised this ceiling to $47,000. So that means that if you work longer 1 week and you want time off the next, you're not allowed to get comp time instead of those extra hours work. Your employer has to pay you overtime, even if you would prefer to get time off. It means that if you duck out, for example, to go to a kid's baseball game for a couple of hours, you cannot be paid for those 2 hours. Whereas before, if you're on salary, they pay you that guaranteed income, whether you go out for a doctor's appointment, whether you come in late or not, because they trust that you're going to make up the hours at some point. Employers are not allowed to do that.
I do agree that that employers and employees ought to be able to agree on flex time. There's no. I thought Democrats liked flex time, Diana.
Well, Democrats say they like flex time, but they've just taken away flex time for anyone earning under $47,000.
They took it away, didn't they?
They like flex time for upper income earners. They don't like it for people who earn under $47,000.
Very interesting. Now, see, I'm going to surprise you probably, because I don't think a business owner should be able to stretch someone's engagement with the company just by putting them on salary. I don't think they should be able to take a $25,000 a year employee and make an hourly rate of, say, $12 or whatever it is an hour. And I don't think they should be able to convert them to salary and then work them 50 hours a week every week just because they weren't able to convert them to salary. I don't think that's right either. I think if you're going to be on salary, you're not going to get overtime. That number should be higher, but I don't think the government should get involved in how the employer and the employee manage their time internally. The flex
time. There are certain professions that are always get overtime. For example, blue collar workers, manual workers. This is an exemption for what's called white collar professionals. And there are some areas where people find it very worthwhile working a lot. Look at a startup, for example. A startup is where people come, they work lots and lots of hours, and then they hope for a payoff.
Yep.
That
yep.
model is not going to be allowed anymore. It's going to be forbidden. These startups are not going to have to, they're not going to be able to use that.
So what we're saying here, folks, what Diana's telling you is this is not just about raising the pay, raising the level of a salaried person to get overtime. And so you're helping the person who's making $24,000, $25,000, or $6,000. This is restricting the employer-employee relationship. That's what it's more about, isn't it?
It really is. And plus, there are so many people, millennials, working parents, who like to have that flexibility. Being on salary has always been a perk. You don't have to keep track of your hours. You know the employer trusts you to do your job. And now this is going to put in a tremendous burden, not just for the individual, but also for employers to keep track of their hours, to clock in, to clock out.
Well, I'll give you an example. I have employees who are on salary, and I know I know without a doubt that they can do their job in 40 hours. I don't require them to work over. But if they want to work a little bit more this week and get a little bit ahead and take a little time off next week, I let them do it.
Jim, do you have a mechanism for tracking their hours? Because by December 1st, you're going to have to put one in.
Wow.
You're not just going to be able to trust them.
Wow.
You're going to have to put some kind of mechanism in where they clock in, they clock
and
out. And if they go on a coffee break or a lunch break, they clock out.
When you hear me talk about anti-business policies coming out of Washington, D.C., what Diana just said is what we're talking about. Right, Diana?
That's right, yes. That's absolutely right. And you should remember, Jim, that employees always have the choice of going to another employer.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And our listeners out there should always be looking around for a better job.
Economics21.org, Diana Furscott Roth website. Hey, Diana, good job today. Come back soon.
Thanks so much for having me on. I always come when I'm invited.
Got Roth. Quick break. I'm Jim Black.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.